Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day.
Comforting joy came to the disciples because they believed on him. They were glad when they saw the Lord, and he gave them this endowment of the Holy Spirit. And all who believe on Jesus Christ receive the Holy Spirit as the down payment of our eternal inheritance.
Thank you for joining us. We are glad to be here with you today to continue learning from the Gospel of John. We are heralds of hope, and our mission is to use media to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. Teaching through the Bible is one way we are working toward this goal of making disciples. This teaching is broadcast around the world via radio, and we are thankful to God for his people who share our goal of making disciples and support Heralds of Hope so we can continue sharing the Word of God with you. If you have thoughts or suggestions for us, we'd love to hear from you. Just send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. It's encouraging to hear from people like you. Today's lesson is Comforting Joy, and you will find it in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. Now let's give our attention to Pastor J. Mark as he teaches us from this passage.
As I think back over the biblical account of God creating man, I am certain that God wants us to be joyful. If we go to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, we find that when God created Adam, he placed him in a very beautiful garden. Adam was given everything that he needed, and that assures me that God desires us to be joyful. Sometimes, though, in the experiences of life, because of unfulfilled hopes, our joy can be dampened, and we are not as joyful as God really wants us to be. But then when those hopes are revived, joy is restored. We're not that much different from the disciples in Jesus' day. You might remember that the disciples on Resurrection Day had real reason to be full of joy because their hopes were revived. And so you and I too may rejoice in the fact that Jesus is alive today. He conquered death, and he instilled joy in all believers because of this great fact. Comforting joy came to the disciples, as it is reported for us in John chapter 20 and verses 19 through 23. I invite you to listen carefully as I read that portion of Scripture, John chapter 20 and verses 19 to 23. Then the same day, in the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled because they feared the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And after he said that, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and said unto them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. So comforting joy was experienced in the hearts of the disciples of Jesus by several acts which Jesus did when he appeared to them after his resurrection. The first act that we observe was his entrance. And I want you to note carefully in the Scriptures, it is stated that the disciples were gathered in a room and the doors were shut. So there was no easy entrance into that room, and they were there because they were afraid. They were afraid what might happen to them because people knew they were followers of this Jesus. As far as they knew, and as far as the people knew, Jesus was still dead. Except, of course, Mary Magdalene had told them, He is alive. And so they felt threatened by their opponents. But then Jesus came into the room where the doors were closed. Now that's a little bit scary. And so the first thing he said to them was a comforting word, Peace be unto you. In other words, don't be afraid. Here was the act of Jesus coming into the room without opening the door, by the way, and speaking peace to the disciples. You know, the presence of Jesus always brings joy to the believer. Sometimes he comes to us in unexpected ways. He comes into our lives. I can bear testimony to that. And then there was a second act. It was his evidence. He didn't wait and he didn't keep the disciples in suspense. He immediately showed them his hands and his side, because he knew that the disciples would need clear proof that he was indeed the same person whom they had seen crucified. So he showed them the nail prints in his hands and feet, and the spot in his side where the spear had pierced him. Now look what happened when he showed them the evidence. It says, "Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." Comforting joy possessed their hearts when they saw Jesus and were sure that he was the same one whom they had last seen hanging on the cross. Now listen further to Jesus' words. He said, "As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." I want you to catch this, because the mission that Jesus began, the mission that the Father had sent him to begin, now he was transferring to his disciples by this statement, "Even so I send you." Comforting joy comes to us when we acknowledge the evidence that the same person who was crucified has risen from the dead, and he has also spoken to us by this word to the disciples. And then there was a final act in this comforting joy. It was his endowment. We read that he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now we know from the biblical record that the Holy Spirit did not come until 10 days after our Lord ascended to glory. So I conclude that Jesus performed this act here in this setting in anticipation of Pentecost, or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus was preparing them to be ready to receive the Holy Spirit at that proper time. And then he went on to say this, "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Now, this should never be understood to be an arbitrary act of the disciples, because it is very clear in the Bible that the only way for forgiveness of sins is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way that sins can be forgiven. And I am sure that Jesus did not overlook that when he made this statement to his disciples. Comforting joy came to the disciples because they believed on him. They were glad when they saw the Lord, and he gave them this endowment of the Holy Spirit. And all who believe on Jesus Christ receive the Holy Spirit as the down payment of our eternal inheritance. And so, my friend, today comforting joy can be yours too, if you acknowledge his presence, accept his nail prints, the evidence of his resurrection, and receive his endowment of the Holy Spirit. Will you do that right now?
We are thankful for the comforting joy we can have through God's Spirit living in us. And we thank you, Brother J. Mark, for sharing this teaching with us. Did you hear verse 23? What did you think of it? At first, the verse sounds as if Jesus is telling the disciples that they can forgive sins, or they can tell people their sins are not forgiven. This is what it sounds like, yet this doesn't hold true with the rest of Scripture. This brings up an interesting question. What do you do when you read a verse, and if you take it for what it says, it seems like it's contradicting other scripture? And if it doesn't directly contradict, what it seems to be saying sounds very unusual. You know, we all know what the verse says. It's written right there. We can read it. The question is, what does it mean? What did Jesus mean when he said, "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them"? And in other passages, it's easy to know what it says. The big question is, what does it mean? And this is a sobering question, because how you interpret the Bible will affect the way you live, and how we live determines our destiny. So it matters, and we want to get it right. Here are three things to help you get it right. To get it right, we definitely need the Bible. The Bible is the best place to turn if you don't understand the Bible. Compare it with other passages. If it is in the Gospels, look in each of them to get more perspective. Charles Spurgeon said, "The Word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose, and the lion will defend itself." When the Bible seems confusing, use the Bible for clarification. Secondly, to get it right, we need to listen to God's people. This can be people you know, or it can be through books or studying online. It is very likely someone else has had the same question you have. So look at what other Christians have taught. And God has given us Christian brothers and sisters so we can help each other. So when you have questions, discuss it with others who know you. Lastly, stay humble. If you ever get to the point where you think you have it all figured out, that is a good sign you don't. And it's a sure sign that you're not being humble. With humility comes the recognition that I have a lot to learn, and what I believe now may not be just perfect. All of us are on a journey, becoming more like Jesus. None of us are there yet. Just admit it and be willing to grow. There you have it. 3 things to help answer your questions and get your biblical interpretation right. Wait, you say, so what did Jesus mean in verse 23? Great question. We're out of time for today, but you can use the Bible and learn from other Christians to find out. While you're at it, stay humble. God will guide you, and you can understand this verse more than you ever have. But you can always learn more. The Bible is like that. It's not an ordinary book. Blessings as you study and experience the joy of learning from God's Word. Now let's take what we've heard and put it into practice. The teaching and instruction in the Bible is for us, and it is meant to be lived. Don't be like the man in James 1 who sees himself in a mirror, then goes away and forgets what he looked like. Instead, be like the man in verse 25 who looks intently into the Word and is a doer of the work. God says, that man will be blessed in what he does. And we bless you as you follow Jesus and share him with those around you. If you have any questions or if you would like today's teaching, just contact us and ask for it by title or tell us the passage. We also have a study guide available designed to help you learn more from each lesson. It is called the Hope Herald. Please let us know if you're interested, and we would be happy to give you one. The quickest and easiest way you can reach us is through email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Send it to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another way you can contact us is through our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. Please look on our website for this teaching and other similar teaching. There you will also find other resources available from Heralds of Hope. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. Again, here's the contact information. Email is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We thank you for joining us for today's program. I encourage you to join us again next week as Pastor J. Mark continues teaching from the Gospel of John. We look forward to being with you then, and we'll leave you with this blessing from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.